Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Smart Muslimah podcast. My name is Farhat Amin, I'm your host, and I want to speak about Palestine because it's been on my mind for the past few days, and I'm sure it's been on yours for since the attack on Al-Aqsa Mosque. And what I want to focus on really is that what can we do, because that's the thought that's been in my head. That when we see the images and we see the posts and we hear the news about what's going on. So that's what I want to focus on, inshallah. And I'm recording this and it's the last day of Ramadan, and it will be Eid tomorrow, inshallah. But it doesn't seem, I was speaking to my neighbour and she was saying, I don't feel like celebrating Eid. And same here, you don't feel that, how can I be happy and be cooking food and giving presents when my brothers and sisters in Palestine are dying? So I thought I've been thinking about this a lot, and I just so I thought that the main thing is that we do something, isn't it? And then we can carry on, we have to carry on with our lives. We can't, but we don't forget what's happening. So let's I'd first like to just there was a really good talk I heard by Yasser Gadi. It's on YouTube, and it's recently posted up, and that was really good. It explained about the Islamic significance of Masjid al-Aqsa and the whole area of Sham. So that's something I would definitely recommend listening to. And also he discussed the whole concept of why is it that we have the truth, Islam is the truth, but why are we in such a difficult situation? Why is it that we are the ones that are being killed and we are being oppressed? And he discussed it on as the point of Aqidah, and how do we view that? What tools does Islam give us to contextualize this idea of why are we not being given Izzah, why are we in this world? So again, that's something I would definitely recommend you listening to help you understand how to contextualize what's going on. But okay, so you like me, you're thinking, what can I do? Now, in the hadith, it's such a famous hadith, it's narrated by Muslim. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, whoever among you sees an evil action, let him change it with his hand by taking action. If he cannot, then with his tongue by speaking out. If he cannot, then with his heart, by hating it and feeling that it is wrong, and that is the weakest of faith. So using this as our guide, and I think we do have to think about what are we capable of, what can we do, and I'm thinking of as women, what can we do, whether you're single, married, with children, without children, that's the question. So, okay, number one, do dua, and I'm sure you are already doing that. So continue doing dua, because the help of Allah will come. And as we know, sincere dua of the believers will be answered. And it's up to Allah when our dua will be answered. But we have to continue doing dua. Don't forget the Muslims of Palestine. And we could add this to this list, the Uyghurs of China, the Rohingya of Burma, the Syrians, the Iraqis, the Afghanis, the Kashmiris, the Yemenis, I think the thing that this has just highlighted, reminded me, is that I must not forget my brothers and sisters. I'm in a very privileged situation where I have food, clothing, and that's Allah's the one who's blessed me with that. So I need to be doing dua because I'm safe and I can do dua. So that's number one. Okay, number two. Now, what actions can you do? I would say number two is educate yourself. And what I mean by that is that we need to know the history of, just understand why can the settlers just go and steal the land of the Muslims in Sheikh Jarrah? How has it come to that situation? Now, that may take a little bit of time, and that's research. You will not get that on social media. There are some, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of good information out there. But you do need to just understand, even go back to basics. Why has Israel why does it exist? How is it that they were able to take Palestine from day one? What is it that, you know, even understanding the history of how Palestine became Islamic land, again, that is our history. So again, in the next few days, weeks, gain that knowledge about our history. Yeah, don't let, because should I tell you why it's so important, is you will not learn that in school. You will not learn that reading the newspapers in the UK anyway, or US. So we have to do that for ourselves, you know, like reclaim our history. And so, because as you know, the victors are the ones who write history. So that's the second thing I would say. Please educate yourself about that. And then if you have children or you have nieces and nephews, then tell them the history of Palestine. Yeah. Because again, this is something practically you can do, because it was called the Palestinian-Israeli conflict when I did my GCSEs many moons ago. And again, the version I was given was not the truth. And so this is something in our control. It just takes effort. And so let's put that effort in. So now, okay, so again, that's one action. Now then, the other action I'd say is that follow. So yeah, where do you get your news from? Sorry. So for example, Channel 4 News is very good in the UK. Al Jazeera, that's international. Finding sources of the news that is more truthful and honest. You know, and then I would say here, social media. I've been getting a lot of news of what's happening from social media, because get your knowledge. And when you are observing the news, whether it's from the BBC or the New York Times or reading it on the Guardian, be aware that this isn't, you know, there's a really famous quote by Malcolm X where he said, "The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent, and that's power, because they control the minds of the masses." So again, we need to take back control of our minds, and that can only happen if we make a effort to get sources of news from, in, you know, unbiased, you know, like for example, Al Jazeera, they call it occupied Palestine. That's what they don't call it. You know, they call a spade, and that's a Muslim-owned newspaper media channel. I'm not saying Al Jazeera is perfect, but it's much better than, they're more honest when it comes to reporting about Muslims. Okay, and so now, once you've got that information, as far as social media, the thing that it's interesting that we know that the media has been very deceptive as how they present you know, the news of what's happening. You know, you can either say it's, at worst, the actions of media can be described as active support for Israeli policy, and at best it can be said that journalists have fallen into the balance trap. This is where journalists ask both sides for their telling of the story and report both in order to claim they are unbiased in their coverage. Now I'm reading, actually there's a really good website called Traversing Tradition. I've written an article for them previously, and I've interviewed, you know, two of their writers. I would say actually traversingtradition.com, that there was a very good article written by Abu Bakr Dawood. I was just reading that. And again, there's a quote from journalism professor Jonathan Foster, who said, "If someone says it's raining, another person says it's dry, it's not your job to quote them both. Your job is to look out the window and find out which is true." And so he was saying how journalists, they will say, "Oh, we're being unbiased." So they're taking the Palestinian reports and they're taking the Israeli version. But if the Israelis are lying, they won't say that. And that's the thing we need to be start. I've become much more clued up on looking at the language that is being used. And I'm sure you have. So describing, you know, Al-Aqsa, the invasion and, you know, and the terrorist activity of the Israelis, that's what it was. But the newspapers calling it clashes, and that somehow that, you know, children are equal to soldiers. That's what was happened. They were making out and not describing the peaceful, innocent worshippers in a mosque. You know, imagine that was done to a church or a synagogue. It would be reported. It would be called a massacre. It would be called, you know, of course, it would be called terrorism. So, but the thing is, I think you already know this. I don't want to labour a point here, but when we talk, share social media posts that expose this, you know, and call the state of Israel an apartheid state, because that's exactly what it is. Call the Israelis colonizers, because that's what they've done. They're colonized. You know, they are white European colonizers who came to Palestine and are trying to ethnically cleanse the indigenous majority of Palestine. They've already achieved that, and they're turning into a minority. So these are the words that we need to use, and so we should use them. So, you know, there's people like Low Key Online. He's been exposing this. Now, the other thing that I would say is that there have been... it's interesting that, speaking of social media, some, I would say that there are some Muslim influences and even other influences, really, that when the Black Lives Matter issue happened, they were posting and they were talking about it. And it's good they were, you know, anti-racism and pro-Black life. But then when it comes to this, they're not. So if you look at celebrities and influencers that have spoken about what's happening, it's surprising. For example, Dua Lipa, who's a singer, and the Hadid sisters, Mia Khalifa, DJ Khaled, the Chile Football Club, Fai Khadra, Khabib, the MMA fighter. You know, these are people who have, said something. There's, you know, Mo Salah, Mane, the Liverpool player. There's some other, Riyadh Mahrez, El Nayan, Nania. Sorry, I posted that completely wrong. But they're a bunch of footballers. So it shows there are people who are willing, alhamdulillah, who are being brave and using their platforms to expose the atrocities that are happening. You've got non-Muslims like Trevor Noah, a Game of Thrones actress, Pink Floyd's a member of Pink Floyd, that's a band. So that shows there are people, like you said, who they're using, they can see the injustice and they're saying something. And although, you know, now, okay, they may be non-Muslim or they might be doing some things that are wrong, but it just shows their humanity. And they should be applauded for doing that, because it's not easy to speak about this in such a public way. So alhamdulillah, there are people like that. But I think as Muslims, we need to question, the influences that we're following that are not saying anything about this. You know, I have decided I'm unfollowing any influencer, any celebrity who is not going to stand with the Muslims of Palestine. Why am I following them? Why am I giving them my time and energy and supporting them if now, when it comes to a Muslim matter, which is so black and white, you know, so clear about right and wrong, if they're not willing to say anything, I'm not willing to follow them anymore. You know, so I would suggest you do the same, really, because if we're not going to make a stand now over this issue, what are we going to make a stand over? It's interesting that Malala Yousafzai gave a very neutral statement about children not being killed. And the thing is that you think she was used by America for propaganda against Islam and Muslims. And, you know, she has such a massive platform. She could say so much, but she's choosing not to. You know, she won't get harmed in any way. In the same way, you've got Greta Thunberg, you know, the environmentalist activist. She did give a statement, but it was not as forceful as what she speaks about when it comes to the environment. And you think, does the environment matter more than the lives of Muslims? And here is, you know, these are questions we have to ask ourselves. And I think it really, with what's happening, I think it's so important. You know, I'm thinking of, I don't know how many hijabi influencers and are speaking about this. So I can't comment. I do know Amina Khan, the ex-hijabi influencer. People commented on her social media saying, why are you not saying anything? And it's interesting what she said, that and again, I'd say go and have a look at her social media to check that. But I think this is the time for us to question, who do we follow? Who do we put our time and energy into? Who do we support? And if they are, like I said, if they're not going to support a Muslim cause, why are we supporting them? Yeah. Okay, so now I think, right, another thing that we can practically do is boycott Israeli products. You know, that's something that you can find out, which Israeli companies have you bought, you know, check if a company is Israeli. You know, we all check our dates to see, are they from Palestine or are they from Israel? Like, I know Tesco sells a lot of dates from Israel. So checking these things, boycotting Israeli products. Another practical thing you can do with your hand is donating to Muslim charities. So Ummah Welfare Trust, I donate to them. I use them for nearly everything because they have 100% donation policy. And when it comes to Palestine, again, I trust giving my money to them. So that's another thing that you can do. There's other organisations like CAGE, who they do campaigns and creating awareness, so supporting them. I think also, going back to the influencers, you know, there are Islamic sheikhs and scholars who they are speaking about this issue. So I'm just going to give the example of Yasser Gadi. He's been very vocal and he has spoken about how anyone who support, you know, the Muslim countries, to be honest, they're not going, I think we're not so naive to think Pakistan or Saudi or even Turkey, that they will do any kind of intervention as far as any kind of, they have said words. Erdogan did say things, but I'll tell you what's interesting is that you have certain sheikhs and scholars who they have supported Saudi and UAE in, that they have given them, like, rubber stamped the fact that UAE, Saudi have normalised relations with Israel. Now, that is a big thing, that to normalise relations, to say our tourists and we're going to have trade with you, and we're going to do economic deals. And then you have certain scholars and sheikhs who have said it's okay. Now, that is not okay. Now, again, I would say find out who is being pro UAE, who is being pro Saudi. And, you know, account them for that, you know, through social media. Why are you, because this is the net result. So what that means, if you're saying it's okay that UAE or Saudi have normalized relations with Israel, you're saying that, and then look at the results. So this is what Israel is doing to the Muslims. How can you say legitimize that? I think that is a very valid question. And there are people on social media who are shaming, you know, they're so called, well, they are scholars. The thing is that this is what's interesting. The scholars, they're Islamic, like when they talk about marriage or Salah or, you know, Islamic things, they're actually, that content is absolutely fine. It's actually really good. I listen to them. But now when it comes to this, it makes you think, why are you doing this? Don't do this. Yeah, that's what we want to say to them. Just keep to Islam. Don't, for who knows why they're doing it, but they shouldn't be doing it. Okay, going to protests, there, again, if it's safe to go, then go. When I used to go on lots of protests when I was younger, and even when I had kids. And so as long as it's safe, and then yes, do it. And as far as, even if it's organised by non-Muslims, there are times when we can work together with non-Muslims. It doesn't mean we're taking on board. Let's say, for example, it's organised by the left. You know, we don't believe in, you know, so there might be communists, they might be socialists. It doesn't mean we are going to adopt all their ideas. It's just that they can see the injustice and we are taking part in, let's say, for example, a demonstration As long as nothing is contradicting Islam there, it's, you know, we can do that. In the same way that the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Makkah, he had allies who were non-Muslim. And again, like I said, you know, there are certain, you know, you've got pop singers and models who, you know, we don't agree with that lifestyle, but they're speaking out against the illegal occupation, and and they're calling out Israel as Zionists, as apartheid, as colonialists. They're being more vocal than some Muslims. You know, this is just, it's quite surprising, you know. But now the other, this then comes, just, I'm going to round up soon. I think one of the things that this has shown, if we look, you know, when it's election time, Muslims tell other Muslims, and I've heard it so many times, they'll tell us who to vote, that they'll say, like in the UK, they'll say, vote for Labour, because Labour, they have a certain interest there. They will help us get mosque planning permission, or they are better than the Conservatives. Or then some people say, no, vote for the Conservatives because they're more family orientated and have family values. Now, if we look at times like this, both the Conservatives and the Labour Party, they're showing their true colours, as in they're not, the leadership is saying, is not pro-Palestine, is not speaking out against what Israel is doing. If anything, it's complete opposite. So at this point, I would then say, we have to think very carefully, who did we vote for? Why did we vote for them? Like, I'll be honest with you, I've never voted in any of the British elections, because for the reason that I can clearly see, when it's election time, and you know this as well, they'll want the Muslims to vote for them and they'll promise us things. But when they get into power, what do they do for the Muslims? Even let's say they do something for our benefit, we get some benefit out of voting for them. But then when you look at what, if they are supplying arms, both Labour and Conservative, they do supply arms to Israel. If they don't give, they aren't saying we should have sanctions against Israel. If they're pro-Israel, you have to think, for that small, you know, benefit that you got from voting for Labour and getting a particular MP, you have to look at the bigger picture, that will I be accountable for voting for a government that then takes part in the oppression of the Palestinians? There's a very good speech given by Sister Shazana, who's works with CAGE at a Sheffield demonstration for the Palestinians recently. And she spoke, she very clearly outlined how the British government is linked to Israel. And if, again, if you learn the history of the creation of Israel, it was the Balfour Declaration, and they gave the land of the Palestinians to the Zionists. Yeah, so why do we expect anything less from the British government? So that was just, you know, I think we mustn't just think about what's good for me living in UK. And the same we could say for US, that people said to Muslims, vote for Biden. But look at what is, Biden is silent about this. He is no ally of the Muslims. Yeah, let's be really clear and intelligent, and let's not think about, oh, what's in it for me? How can I make my life in the UK or US more cushy? And because it's not you're giving your vote to someone who is killing Muslims and complicit in killing Muslims. That's the bottom line. And so I think we have to be much more intelligent now. So these are the things that I would say. There's a lot of practical things we can do. And, you know, I think this is a test for us. This is a test for the people of Palestine. And we want to pass this test because, you know, on the Day of Judgment, we will be asked, you will be asked and I will be asked, what did you do for you when your brothers and sisters were being killed and being bombed? What did you do in your privileged situation? And we are so privileged. And I want to be able to say, I did as much as I could within my capability. And inshallah, I hope that I've given you ideas today on what you can do, inshallah. So inshallah, you know, let's raise our hands and do dua for all the Muslims that are being oppressed, and may Allah give them victory. And may Allah give us, you know, good Islamic leadership that will protect, will be a shield, that will protect the Muslims, just as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was that shield in Medina. And that, you know, if we think of Abu Bakr, Umar, they're the kind of strong leaders in Saladin. You know, our history, you know, I said about educating ourselves, our situation was so much better in the past, but then, you know, they had trials, and how did they overcome them? And that's how we must overcome them. But we can't just sit on our hands and do nothing. Yeah, and don't think you can't do anything. I've just given you a list of things, inshallah, that you can do. So please, if you found this useful, share it with your friends and family. And if not, just take some notes and speak to them about it. Because, alhamdulillah, you know, especially as women, don't think as a woman. You know, I had an interesting discussion with Fatima Barakatullah about the power that women have, you know, and the influence we have. Don't think you don't have power and influence. It's just whether you choose to use it and how you choose to use your time, inshallah. So take care, and inshallah, I hope you and your family have a wonderful Eid, and may Allah bless the whole Ummah with a peaceful Eid, inshallah, and may Allah protect all our brothers and sisters around the world. Okay, take care. Asalaamu Alaikum. Are you looking for a God-conscious husband? Or do you have a friend that is looking for a compatible spouse? Getting married is one of the most important decisions of your life. So before you embark on your marriage journey, you need answers so you have clarity and confidence to find a compatible husband. Smart Single Muslimah is a thought-provoking Muslim marriage guide for Muslim women. In the book, you'll discover how to find a husband, how to find out if you are compatible, what questions to ask a potential spouse, and how to deal with disappointment. Adopting a smart Islamic approach to relationships is about following some simple prophetic principles that will change your habits and attitudes about getting married. If you want honest pre-marriage advice that addresses contemporary issues you're facing, then you will find this book extremely useful. Available to buy on Amazon in Kindle or paperback format.